Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground."
Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done.
Okay, see here, do I got everything? Got my water. Hope my notes come up. I don't know how Pastor Dave does this without going to the bathroom break. Is the mic on? Sorry. That was a joke. I was just trying to break the ice and be funny, so it's okay if you want to laugh with me. All right. Yeah, dear Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for your word. And Lord, I just ask that your spirit would come and it would do a tiny work here, Lord. I pray that a seed would be planted, a seed would be watered, a thought would be provoked, Lord, a conversation would be have. Lord, I just invite your spirit to come and to move and to continue to move us forward as a body, as a family, as a community, Lord. Thank you. Amen. All right. I may just briefly introduce myself for those who don't know. Name is Josh Lindstrom. I'm an elder here at the Free Church. I am a husband to most likely the best elementary teacher in Cook County, if not in Minnesota. I have four kids, 15 to 5. I am a community member here. I call this home. And I'm also a business owner as well. So that's just kind of who I am. And so this morning, as the notes say, it's a Sabbath reflection. And I guess I just want to come and share and speak to you guys as a brother in Christ. I kind of feel like this weird thing that I got to give an excuse, but I won't. But yeah, I just want to come and share on this idea of Sabbath. And so I guess it has been a thought of mine and a conversation within my family and within our community and friends of Sabbath. And what is that? And what does that look like? And I think I don't even know if it's been maybe the last 2 years or so we've had that conversation and we are practicing and attempting to practice the Sabbath. But when I thought about it, like, what grabbed me from that? Because there's other teachings that I heard people talking about it. And I, if you know me, I'm kind of an ideals person. Like, I see the ideal and I want to get to that ideal. And when I've heard teachings on the Sabbath, it was like, man, that just sounds so idealistic. You know, like you sleep in the morning, the kids sleep in, and then you have pancakes, then you drink your coffee while it's hot, and then you go for a little walk, and the kids are all right there, and then you come home and take a nap, and then there's this meal, and it's just like refreshing time, and God is just pouring out, and we're in awe and wonder. It's like, man, that sounds great. Man, I want that. And I will let you know that we've been practicing to get there, but I think that's what kind of like caught my attention, was that this ideal of that. Then also, I want to clarify that when I speak of Sabbath this morning, I'm referring to a regular scheduled once a week in the week, like a time set aside where we're not working, we're ceasing, we're stopping from our work, and instead we are kind of being with God. And I think, and you guys will probably all agree with me, that now more than ever, we all want rest. We all want a break. Like, this world is moving at an incredible speed, and there's information coming to us all the time. Our checks lists are getting longer, and they're not getting done. And there's just more work than ever is going on. And I think even too, like in Cook County, we live in a very unique spot where our economic system is requiring us to work so much. Like I've heard other business owners talk, and there's great truth to it, but it's like, we live in a tourism economy and we have 3 to 4 months to make all the income for the remainder of the year. And that sounds hard. That doesn't sound fun. That sounds miserable. Like, there has been people who maybe have bragged about working 60 to 80 hours a week. Have I done that? Yes, I have. But it's like, it's not healthy. I don't think it's difficult. There's a lot of pain and toil in that. And so this economic system that we live in, just generally, if someone wants to call this place home, like, you're going to have to work jobs that you don't want to work. You're going to have to work multiple jobs. You're going to have to move from home to home until you find a house. And you can also hope that you find someone to marry to in the midst of all that. But so this is kind of the place that we find ourselves in, this setting and in the setting at large too. And you can go ahead and do the research and find out that America, I think, works more hours a year than any other country there is. There used to be a time when they foretold, with the onslaught of technology, that we would actually go from like a 5-day work week to a 3 or 4-day work week, and we would like have less work to do. Well, the truth is, we just have more work to do with this, with the aid of technology. Anyways, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. And so today, with the Sabbath, and when I made notes and all my thoughts from the last 2 years, I kind of put them down. There's so many different rabbit holes and ways to go. Today, I want to like really just look at two things, and that one is just this idea of Sabbath as resistance. There's an Old Testament scholar, Walter Brueggemann, who wrote a book by the same name. But I think I really want to focus on that. And in order to like get to this ideal, or in order to like start the path towards that ideal, we have to be okay, and we have to be aware that it's going to be a path of resistance. Like, everything around us is going to be pushing against this if we decide to do that. I don't know, this is not how I define Sabbath, but this is what I came up with. I said, the Sabbath allows us to be captured with God's beauty and wonder, which then provides an opportunity for our souls to be restored and refreshed by intentionally being present with God. So the Sabbath allows us to be captured. We slow down, we pause, we're just in awe of God's greatness. And when we're in awe and in that wonder, then we have the opportunity to be refreshed and to be restored. And this opportunity, this capture, is going to be an intentional thing. We're not going to necessarily stumble into it when we leave here on Sunday. So I want to share a story that I think captures what a position would be of someone who's in Sabbath. So the last memory I have of my dad, I believe, captures this. And my dad was someone who had the ability to move slow in life, and he had the ability to kind of capture and be in awe of God and of what God's hand has done, whether that is the wilderness or the people around him. But I lost my dad in the summer of 1998 after I graduated. And to kind of set the scene, like, this is, a lot of the details are vague, but I think this might be my very last memory. So we lived over in Marquette, Michigan, and we had this house that was right on Lake Superior, probably about 40 yards off from the beach. And the house was a split-level house. So when you drove up off the road, you drove up, you'd park, you'd walk up the stairs to the front door, and then you'd go inside. And then if you went inside, you went down the basement, out the back door towards the lake, you were also on the ground. So it kind of had that split-levelness to it. And then on that main floor, there was a deck on the back of the house that went the whole length of the house. It was a smaller, like longer, narrower deck, but room to kind of sit and just take everything in. And then to get down to the beach, there was a path that went over a little bridge, and then there was a little gully, and it was kind of like wooded with some trees, and then that bridge went to the path, to the stairs that went down to the beach. But you could easily sit on that deck and see and hear Lake Superior, and it kind of, your view would be perfect, and there'd also be some trees and stuff in the view. So on this beautiful July day, I was down on the beach, and I came walking back up those stairs, and on that boardwalk across the bridge, like up to our house, and I see my dad sitting on that deck, just enjoying the day. So he was there enjoying, and he made two comments to me. One was about the pie that he was enjoying, and I would imagine that he or my mom or both of them made that pie, and he was sitting on this back deck just enthralled with this taste and the aromas and the beauty of that pie. And then also there was a bird that had been like going back and forth from the little wooded gully area and then back up to the deck and like flying like right by him, and then it would leave and it would come back. So then he commented on that. And his ability to kind of just sit, to cease, to enjoy, allowed him to appreciate that pie, and it gave the bird the opportunity to come in and for him to be in wonder and awe of that bird. And I think that, to me, is what, like, a position that we should hope for and long for and to be held in the Sabbath. All right, so, and then going into our text today, the other thing, Sabbath means ceasing and stopping from our work. So I think in order to appreciate Sabbath, we have to like have a good grasp on what our work is and what and how we were created and what that was for. Because if our work is misinformed and we're going the wrong trajectory in our work, and then when we try to stop from that, that break that Sabbath is going to be not the same too. All right, let me find myself in my notes here. All right, yeah, so Sabbath as resistance. If I believe that our work, we're designed in our work, was to create, but instead, most work is for production. Like all of our work is for production, to making a product, to making a service, to selling, to balancing the sheets, to producing, to putting out. And that's like one part of what our work does. But we weren't created to be factories that put out experiences and products. We were created as people and communities to create and bring forth God's kingdom. So that's why I believe we need to have this correct understanding of work in relation to our rest. So in verse 26, it says, then God says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have domain over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So God is saying, let's create man and let's make him in our likeness. And one aspect of likeness is a sense of domain, that God has control over what he created. He made it and he had control. And now he's passing that likeness and that dominion and that domain onto us, that we can also, in our little spheres, rule and have domain and have that guardianship that God has. He has passed that down to us. So that's one aspect of how we were created. Then he goes on to say, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth. So then, now this is where he blessed us. There's only two things that got blessed in creation. One is mankind, and the second is the Sabbath. So there's two times that God blessed things. He blessed man, and he blessed the Sabbath. And here, now he's blessing us, and what is he blessing us to do? To be fruitful and to multiply. And I think we can look at that many different ways, but one way is he's saying, here you go, like this is good, now go and expand and push out the boundaries and have kids and have families and make things and go out and have those people make things and push out that boundaries and go and expand and bring forth my kingdom, to create and expand. And in chapter 2, we see he kind of recaps it in a second telling of the creation. He says, the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. So I'm going to ask for just a little forgiveness here because I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but the word work is abad. And when I looked it up in the concordance, like there's a wide range. Like usually in a concordance, you go and you find the word, and it's like, if the word means walking, like all the definitions are walk, walking, jogged, walked, walked in the past. But with this abad, it is a wide range. There is the idea of work, there is the idea of slave, and there is the idea of worship. So I'm just speculating here that it's kind of crazy that the word work can also mean the word slave and worship. Like, I think it's very easy that we can become slaves to our work or we can worship our work. Pause. I wanted to say this before, but there's a book by the name of, I don't know what it is, but the gist is that Jesus, his time on earth, like he answered three questions roughly, and he posed way more questions. So my hope today is that I'm not answering a whole lot of questions. I'm spurring you on to have questions that you can go back to the person that you're sitting next to, back at home in your community, that you can dig into the word and be like, oh, what did Josh say about that? I'm not sure. I wonder what, you know, like I want to give us questions so we can meet with our family and our community and we can discover what God has to say there. Anyways, back to this abad. And then keep is a word shamar. And shamar is a sense to protect and to preserve. And that caught my attention. I was like, well, what is there to protect in the garden? Like, everything is just like, the garden is good. Everything is safe. You know, it's like, what do we need to protect and preserve there? But I just found that very interesting that shamar, this idea to keep, is this idea to protect and to preserve. Excuse me. So there's that sense of being protective of our work or of the things that we have. Now, one other thing too, creation was good. God is saying every single day it was good, it was good, it was very good. He never said it was done or complete or perfect. So what is that, like, where does that put us? Like, if creation is just good and not complete, but it's good in the sense that all the pieces are there. This, like, his plan is good to go. He's created everything, and man is there, and now man can go. It's good to go and go forward. And I have this analogy, and it will be, of course, it'll be related to coffee, because that's what I spend a lot of my time in. And in verse 29, we see that God said, behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. So coffee is a seed of a cherry that grows on a tree. So let's just imagine that Adam and Eve, like, The garden is already created. They show up, they pop up, and they're just in awe. Like, this is just amazing. Like, what was that like? They've never seen anything. I mean, if anyone has traveled to a complete foreign land where there's new trees and new birds and new surroundings, we're awestruck. It's amazing. So here's Adam and Eve, and they're awestruck. And let's say the days and the years go on, and finally they find and they discover the coffee tree after 3 years. They have this tree, and it's, this is really interesting. There's like different sizes and different colors, and I'm not sure if it's ripe, if it's pink or yellow or red. And they finally start chewing on the flesh, and they're like, yeah, it's kind of bitter. And, there's a seed. I wonder what that seed is for. They just spit it out, and then a couple other years go on, and then they discover fire. Somehow they stumble across fire, and they make fire. Like, God provided everything there. I don't know if it was like hitting two stones together or rubbing some sticks together, but all of a sudden it's like fire, and they're like, oh my goodness, we have fire now. And then they're like, oh, well, now we can have hot pineapple and hot water and like hot food. And they eventually go through this, and they eventually make a cup of coffee. Now that is complete. Now that is whole. Now that is perfect. They have, over the years, God gave them everything to discover and to learn and to create a cup of coffee. And now they're sitting next to one of those rivers in the Garden of Eden with a cup of coffee. And now that experience is complete and whole. So I think that's kind of this idea of the garden was good. It was good in the sense that he gave us everything to go forward and to create. All right, and then we have the Sabbath, which was created on the seventh day. So God is working in the earth in 5 days. He creates everything, and then on the sixth day, he creates man, and he blesses him. And then on the seventh day, God creates that day, and he blesses that. And what is man's first day on earth? Well, like, what is he doing his first day? He's hanging out. It's a Sabbath. He's just resting. He's in awe. He's in wonder. God is present with him in the garden, and he is there. He's just like basking in it. This is what I'm made for. So I think it's, as a lot in life, like, God does the work, and we have to show up to be present, to accept his work. And I think that just sets that pattern going forward in the Bible, in our lives. Like, God is not waiting for you to do something. He's not waiting for you to get the right job or to stop this behavior or to start this behavior or to do this or do that, and then he shows up. No, God is already there. His grace is abundant. His mercy is abundant. And that's what draws us and brings us in. And we see that in that account too, that God created this rest for man to come into. But unfortunately, we have chapter 3. So in the account of chapter 3, there's the fall, but then also I just want to like briefly look at the curse. Like, he gave a curse to the woman, and he gave a curse to the man. And that curse to the man, I think, applies to all mankind. It's not just men who are more apt to toil and have pain in their work, but we all are going to do that. And he says, and to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I command you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you are taken, for you are dust, and in dust you return. And if we're honest, like, that's much more our experience of work, is that toil and trying to put something together, like trying to build out a basement bedroom for my daughter, and it's just like so much work. The board is crooked, like something is wrong, or whatever it is. Like, we all have that pain, we all have that toil. That's a daily thing that we go into. But just because we have that toil and in that pain, it does not, it doesn't take away the first call that we had to command to create. All right, yeah, so we still have that same call to go forward. But if you think of it as the call to create versus the call of production, and now our sensitivities, our leanings are going to be very easy to go on the side of toil and pain of production, because we have bills to pay and we have like quotas to meet and rent to pay and all this. So that's where our energy and where our focus goes, and kind of what we assume that what we are regulated to for our work. But I just want to encourage us that although that's true, if we can just take a step back and come back to this idea of being able to create. Yeah, Brad told me before to land the plane, and now I'm trying to land the plane, but I can't get the wheels down, the gear's not there, so we might be doing a crash landing into the Hudson, but we'll land safe. So I just want to pause from this and share a little bit about how we practice and how I attempt to practice. And I will be honest, like, we have not practiced the Sabbath in for probably a month, okay? So we by no means have it dialed in, and I'm not preaching and sharing up here as someone who has discovered and figured it out, and I'm going to give you the three keys to success. I'm someone up here who has tasted and seen this ideal, and I want us all to taste it and to all experience it, all to go along to it. So the very first thing is, like, it's a practice. And as someone once said, we need to start where we are at, not where we want to go, okay? So if you have never practiced this before, we should start small. We shouldn't start in that vision that I first painted. Maybe it's just like, hey, 3 hours on Saturday. That's my goal, is I'm going to start with 3 hours. I'm not going to start with 24 hours. And also the second part is, I believe not just Sabbath, but all things should be practiced in community. So when we're surrounded by people on that same path that we are, it's easier to be on that path. And we have a community, large community here in a church, but we also need to be having smaller friend groups, smaller relationships outside where we're all like on that same path. Because doing the Sabbath is kind of, it can be weird if you get down to it. And if you don't want to be the only weird person, but you want to share a weirdness with someone else, that's going to be easier. Or for your kids' sakes, too. Like, if the kids know, hey, this is the day that we don't watch TV, if that's something. Like, it's going to be easier for your kids to do that if they know that someone else, one of their buddies, too, are not going to be doing that. So practice that in community. And then this is really vague, but for how us, when we practice it, we'll set up a time frame. We say it's going to start, it's usually in some evening, like at 6 o'clock at night, to maybe like right before we go to church, or right after church it'll be done. And often I like pizza as well, so we'll make a pizza, and that's like our Sabbath meal. And then we have two candles that we'll light, and Stephanie has put together a little reading that we'll do, and the kids will light the candles, and we'll all share lighting the candles or reading. But the reading is very simple. Like, one of the candles is to remember the Sabbath, and the second candle is to observe the Sabbath. And so we light those candles, and then we eat. Other expectations we might have is, like, we try to get outside, whether it's for a walk or go down to the lake. And then also, we will turn off our phone as well. So that's basic work. I mean, that's as far as we got. And if we accomplish all those, like, that's a great success for us. But maybe for some reason we don't get all the way through, but just starting small, starting where you're at, and then going forward. And then one last thing. So there is this idea of rest. God calls us to rest versus leisure. And Andy Crouch has a definition for rest, which is the glad contemplation of work completed. And leisure is the escape from toil, and that almost always requires someone else to work/toil for us. So a Sabbath is not necessarily a day when you call sisters, get a pizza, binge watch your favorite show, don't do any chores, and you just like escape and then walk down to Dairy Queen. Like, maybe all those things, but like that is leisure. Like, leisure is an escape from toil. And if we view our work as toil, we will naturally go towards leisure. But if we view our work as something beautiful that we are creating, we'll want to rest in that completed work and be fulfilled in that. Like, Andy gives an example of preparing a meal. Like, if you have ever ate food together, and if I took all this time to make this beautiful meal and the friends come over and we all sit down to that meal, like, that meal is so much more enjoyable, like, knowing that I cooked it and we're all enjoying it. Like, that is rest. We're resting in that work of that meal versus like just going out to eat somewhere. Like, that's a leisure thing. So since we have moved forward in history with toil and pain for our work, we have believed that's what we have been made for. But in return, will only seek a temporary relief of easy access of leisure. So I want to call and encourage us all to rethink our work as creating, as partaking with God, to bring forth his kingdom in whatever and wherever we find ourselves, in our own little domain. And with this, let's move into Sabbath on a regular practice so we can be in awe and wonder in all the beauty that God has and did in creating. Let's be a community of resistance to bring God's kingdom forward. Let's be a community that brings God's rest to our little workplaces, to our homes, to our apartment buildings, to our jobs, to the grocers, wherever we go. Let's move forward in work and in rest. So that is all that I have. I have more, so if you guys will have me back, we'll have Sabbath part two. One guy I read or listened to, he was talking about the Sabbath and is a preacher, and he said he used to always get frustrated when people would fall asleep in church on Sunday, you know, and then he started to practice and understand the Sabbath, and then he's like, you know what, I love it when I preach on Sunday and I can look out and I can see people like nodding off and sleeping. It's just like, man, those people are like getting that rest. They're just resting in God. So, so let's call the worship group back up.